McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we are back again, as we always are on these Sunday mornings, and we have a fantastic guest today in Heather Hansen, and also, of course, we have the ladies.
And we're fantastic as well.
What?
Doesn't that go without saying?
Hey, look, one of the things I know, so our guest today is going to be Heather Hansen, and I've read her book. She's been on our show before, and she talks about how, and she's going to get into this more, how important it is to advocate for ourselves. So, hey, there was my little effort. Excellent.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's a perfect student. So, listen, I'm a little stressed.
Oh,
okay.
You two can give me a little therapy session. Okay. See, and Carol, I know you're probably going to be able to relate to this. So I have finally, I don't know, did we talk maybe late last year about how I was planning to do a little home renovation in my little teeny tiny house on the river?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and then you know what happens when you're planning a renovation and you don't start it. If you know, the holidays came, then I'm like, oh, you can't do it during the holidays. And then, you know, the new year came, and then, oh, boom, pandemic. You couldn't do anything through the pandemic. So I've been anxiously waiting to get this house renovation going, and we finally broke ground this week. Which should have me very excited. Instead, I am like a bundle of nerves.
Why would that be?
Well, because here's what, okay, because I watch too much Property Brothers, okay, and I see how smoothly everything goes. Now, first of all these big renovations, they all happen within 7 weeks, they all stay within budget, and they don't show you the part where you gotta pack up your crap and move completely out of your house. That just happens like magic. But guess what? It ain't magic. Moving out of my house is stressful to me, and that's precisely what I'm doing right now.
Are you living with your parents?
Well, by our next show, I will be officially moved into my parents' house.
Nice. All those years ago when they finally said, now I have an office, and you're back.
So, Jonna, what's the timeline for construction?
All right, so the timeline, if I listen to my father, the timeline is 3 months. If I listen to the contractor, the timeline is 2 months. I'm going with the contractor because 2 months is better than 3 months.
Exactly. Now, what are you having done?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the interesting part. Like, I'm having pretty much the entire house is being redone, except for the fabulous kitchen that I put in a couple of years ago. Everything else, I'm putting in a second story, because the house is kind of it's sort of capey, I guess, you know, where I have these really tall ceilings, but that's all empty space. So actually, I don't even have to raise the roof line. I'm putting on a second story, but the biggest thing is going to be a garage, and over the garage is going to be a huge master suite, everything overlooking the river, which is going to be fantabulous.
Oh, that's great. That's actually what my apartment is. My apartment is the exact same thing. I'm over a three-car garage.
Oh, but this, I did not know that.
Yes, this was formerly, when Celie was still married, this was her master bedroom, her master suite. But all she basically did was close a door and add a little kitchen.
Wow.
So it's,
nice.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be very similar to that. It'll be nice to have a garage. I'll have a second deck. And then one of the things that my contractor brought up that I hadn't even thought of, which is a fabulous idea that has nothing to do with the house, but you guys have been on my deck and you know, when you look down into the backyard, like, so my house is up high and you look down into the backyard, but you can't see like where the river begins because there's like a tangle of rock and tree in between us and that. He wants to bulldoze that flat and put a gorgeous patio so that you could sit down there on pavers and overlook the river, which I think will just be a really nice touch.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And you know what else I would add to that? A zip line from your second story deck.
Oh, my God. You know what? I can see Jonna on a zip line with high heels.
So can I.
And you know what? And your view from either that little patio or from the new master suite, it's the river. Me, I got cows and cats.
Well,
which is also cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's comforting.
Well, Jonna, I look forward. So Brangenberry, you and I now have content for the next 2 to 3 months of the show.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right.
Jonna is oftentimes at her funniest when she is complaining about something. So, look, it's going to be worth it in the end.
Yeah,
it
and
really
you know
will
what?
Be. I can see the vision.
Yeah, we'll get
renovated. What?
Oh, no, go ahead.
As I was saying, having renovated many properties myself as a part-time real estate investor, there are always surprises. There are always delays. There's inevitably for me always a point when I think this is never going to get done. And you know what?
Dump it right now.
Done.
Right. And you know, I can come up with a little bit of a music bed and a couple of zips, and it just goes Jonna's stress of the week. You know, or mishap, one or the other.
Wait, all right, listen, this will make it all worthwhile, whether it takes 8 weeks or longer. Can we do that? Can we create a little music bed? But I want you to record me. I want you to record me screaming, like, ah! And that's got to be part of it.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Doing
actually, I could probably just, you know what, give me another scream and I'll be able to do it.
Oh, you want one right now?
Go ahead right now.
I don't know if I can do it on cue right now.
You just did one.
Up.
You just
okay,
did one.
All right, ready? Everybody hold your ears if you're listening out there. This is going to be what I'm going to sound like for the next 8 weeks. Okay.
That was great.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Brangenberry, and here's my suggestion. I think you should add another level, a layer of sound to that. That is like the sound of hammering nails.
Oh, of course. Yes. Definitely construction sounds.
Okay. Hey, look, maybe it'll all be done quickly and all of your contractors and workers will be hot-looking men with no shirts, okay? This is what I wish for you.
And maybe the real world will happen, too.
But I did want to talk to you, Carol, my sister, because I know that you have done this a million times before. Except that this is a little bit different in that it's my house and the whole movie. Like, I just wish it was going to happen like it would on TV, where you don't see that they're living in their parents' basement.
Right.
You don't get
and
that.
Where it actually happens in an hour.
Yeah, I wish.
Right.
Although, I am inspired. Here's an idea that maybe you guys could also help me with, because something that inspired me. So, since I have to move many of my things into storage, and I'm moving some of the things into my parents' house, the things that are a little too delicate for storage, one of the things I discovered is that I have a vast wine collection that includes wines that I'm probably never going to touch. And I said to myself, what do I do? Like, is there a way to have, like, a party where you do a wine exchange? So in other words, like, I take the wines that maybe aren't my favorite, but somebody else might love. You know, like, I don't do Merlot, but I have some Merlot. Maybe I got them as gifts. And then other people bring over their wines, and then you bring a wine, you take a wine. What do you think of something like that? Has anybody ever done anything like that?
Oh,
I think I would call it a wine dump, because everybody's bringing the crap they don't want.
Yeah, or a wine swap.
Oh, wine! You think you'd only get the crappy? Because some of these wines are expensive, but they're just not my flavor.
Well, if you can't figure it out, I'll help you out there. I'll come pick them up.
You want me to drop them off the beacon?
That's how Carol's going to help out. All right, you give me yours, and then I'll get back to you in a couple of weeks.
I got your back.
I'll just hang on to him. there's just one little interesting idea. Although I can't wait till it is all done, I am going to have a party. Hopefully at that point, you know, the whole COVID stuff will be behind us. So I'll have a small enough party. Because part of this may include a little bar area.
Oh, nice.
So there. Right. I know.
Maybe I can come over and do the show from there in the future.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, we could do the show drunk every time.
Great. And you know what else is cool about this whole renovation thing, Jonna, is that you can annoy your neighbors.
For
2 months.
Guys.
The banging and the banging.
Oh, payback.
Exactly.
They're gonna hate me, I know. But you know what? It can't be helped. And look, I mean, what are you going to do? I have a building permit, you know. Stuff happens. It's not going to be forever, so it's going to have to grin and bear it. You know, that's for sure. So
exactly.
That's what I got going on. So, yeah, so you're welcome. It'll be a fun couple of months, material-wise.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Yes, definitely. A stressed out Jonna is my favorite, Jonna. Sorry.
But you're going to have to be careful because some of that stress may come from living at home again. And, you know, Mom Nance likes to listen to the show.
Well, this is true. But since I'll be living at home, I could pull the plug on all of her radios and make sure
that'll help any stresses that you and your mom may come about over the next couple of months as you unplugging crap.
Because already she's a little too comfy. Like, she likes having me under her roof because I, you know, help with the dogs and, you know, that kind of stuff. And she has a wine buddy. And I have to remind her that this is temporary, so.
Hey, look at it this way, Jonna. Mom and Dad are just happy to have their little girl back for a while, so take it as that.
Frankie Barry, I have an idea.
Okay.
I think maybe not every week, maybe every other week, we can have Mama Nance on as a special guest, and we can get a little update what it's like from her perspective, having her one and only pride and joy daughter living with her again.
That would be absolutely perfect. And you know, we did that kind of thing on one show when I was doing the podcast for Orange County Choppers, where Paul and Joan had been in Florida. Or I'm sorry, just Paul had been in Florida, but he was sharing a house with his sister. And we got her on the phone. Oh, boy, was that some great stories.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Oh, you know what? Okay, well, while we're at that, then let's just get Mama Chewy on the line, too. We could have a little mother-daughter cocktail party. Yeah, at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I'm down.
I think that would be most entertaining. I had my mother on the air once when I did a morning show years ago up the road, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, moms do provide some good material, I will say that. And remember, Mama Chewy, we missed her. Mama Chewy used to be an integral part of this show.
I know.
She got a little too big for her britches. She had to move on. She got better opportunities. I understand.
She had it in North Carolina, too.
She bought a pink smart car.
Oh, man.
Right. Painted it like a cat, and off she went.
Oh my God!
Painted it like a cat.
Remember that sign she had on her side door, Jonna? That was an angry-looking cat flipping you the bird. Like, whose mother has that?
So hilarious!
The only thing better would be like, you know, little tiny, you know, unicorns on tricycles flipping the bird.
Oh gosh. Hey, even a unicorn has to advocate for itself, you know?
Exactly. Good point.
Oh, my God.
You got that one by me for a second.
I was waiting for her to get it in there. I mean, okay, so Carol, the queen of Sagoos, just gave us a good one. When we come back from the break, we have she's one of our all-time favorite guests because she's one of my all-time favorite people. We had her on last year. Former attorney, now life coach and author, Heather Hansen is going to be with us to talk about her latest course, which is going to be fantastic, how to advocate for yourself like a lawyer so that you can get everything you want. And if anybody can tell us how to do that, it's her. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be speaking with one of our favorites, Heather Hansen, when we come
back. Love her.
All right, that is what's on the way. This is Happy Hour, and you're listening with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And this is K104. Hang around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And our second segment, as always, features yet another wonderful guest. And we welcome the return of Heather Hansen today.
Yes.
Hi, guys. I'm so happy to be here.
We are happy to have you. And I want to say for the record that I'm actually thrilled to have you. And I'm also a little sad because what I want our listeners to know and what we're going to talk to Heather about today is you guys might remember, our listeners might remember, we had Heather on. I'm going to say, Heather, when did your first book drop? Was it April of 2019?
That's right. Good memory.
Good memory. So we had you on to talk about your first book, which was The Elegant Warrior. And we're having you back on today for a few reasons. Number one, you're working on your second book. Number two, you have a fabulous course, an online course that is going to start tomorrow, Monday. And also, you have really, I think you're going to be an inspiration if we can discuss the personal things that have kind of transpired in your life during this pandemic that has seemingly rocked us all. And one of the reasons why I'm sad is because you've decided to up and leave our favorite city, New York City, and start a new adventure and new chapter elsewhere. So why don't we start with that, Heather? Let's talk about, you know, now that you're kind of transitioning to become a life coach for a lot of people, how did you coach yourself during the last 6 months, which has really like rocked us all? What's happening here?
It's such a great question about coaching yourself, Jonna, and it's true. I mean, I think that we all have got to coach ourselves through every single day right now with all of the uncertainty. And one of the things, you know, my background is the same as yours. My background is as a trial attorney. And one of the things that I like to talk to my clients about is the inner jury, the part of you inside of you that makes decisions. It decides between abundance and scarcity. It decides between risk or comfort. It decides between fear and faith. And I like to believe that I can influence that inner jury to make the best decisions for me in very much the same way that I influence and persuade the outer jury in the courtroom. So that's with using words and questions and perspective and evidence and body language and all of the things to make the best decisions for me. So when it came to this current decision to go all in with my life coaching and to move, I'm moving to North Carolina, I really had to see the situation differently. And it's funny because when I first told my mom that I was interested in becoming a life coach, my mom said, "Do you think maybe you're having a midlife crisis?" And I told her, "I don't know if it's a crisis if you love it." And then I went and once again, one of the tools that I use with my clients to influence the jury is words. So I wanted to see what that word really meant, that word crisis. And I think it's such a great word for your listeners to consider because right now we are going through a crisis. The world is going through a crisis with COVID. Mm-hmm. And the origin of the word crisis comes from a Greek word that means turning point when change must happen. And I think if we start thinking of crises that way, so maybe I am going through a midlife crisis because it's certainly a turning point in my life where I feel as though change must happen. For better or worse, it's time for a change. And in many of our lives, in many of our worlds, with everything that's going on with COVID, we are at a turning point where it is time for a change. And so using that perspective of it, guys, it really allowed me to make this decision, which does feel scary and exciting and a little crazy.
And you know what, Heather? The important thing is that if your midlife crisis is just moving to North Carolina and becoming a life coach, as opposed to being a guy and buying a really expensive sports car, good for you.
That's right. It's hopefully a crisis that will help a lot of other people and myself.
Heather, what's interesting, Heather, is even just hearing you describe it in, you know, basically 25 words or less, you sort of take the sting out of it. It sounds a little less scary. Like when I sit back and look at your life, and just so that everybody knows, Heather has been a trial attorney for 2 decades. She's received accolades, awards. I mean, you're an excellent trial attorney. And some people might say, well, you know, she's so good at what she does. Why would she want to give it up and do something else? Isn't that scary? And you kind of just made it sound a little less so. Even if the impetus was this change that was thrust upon us in terms of a pandemic, as opposed to you making the decision when we were all much more comfortable, it does sound less scary. And it actually sounds a little bit exciting.
And that's, you know, there's a quote that I love that says, "Fear is excitement without breath." And so I think the line between fear and excitement is such a fine line. And again, that's a decision. It's a choice we make. And if I can help my inner jury choose to see excitement over fear, then I'm going to continue to take steps forward into the future that I choose, rather than staying with one by default because I'm afraid. So you're right, Jonna. It is definitely, you know, there are days where it feels more scary, but those are the days that I have to double down on the self-coaching and make sure that I look at words and perspective and ask myself questions and really add up the evidence that supports the idea that I can do this.
Absolutely.
Heather, this is Carol. So, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Carol.
Okay. So so excited to have you back. You know, John and I both, like, have closet girl crushes on you. We love you. We love fun, intelligent women, and you are certainly one of those. And I love your definition of crisis, because in times like this, and we all go through different crises during life. This happens to be one that all of us are sharing in. It feels overwhelming, and we feel powerless. However, it is oftentimes when we go through really difficult experiences, and you've gone through them, Jonna, Frankenberry, myself, all of us have, where we are faced with stepping back and choosing who we're going to be in relationship to that and say, okay, what are we going to do with it? And it forces us, sometimes we are forced to ask questions and evaluate opportunities and situations where we never would have had the courage or foresight to do so. We're forced to, but we can choose what we do with that. And I love how you described crisis, and I 100% agree with you.
Well, and Carol, you're so right. I mean, choice precedes change. You know, if you want to make a change in your life, you've got to choose first, whether it is choosing to eat more healthily after many of us became a little less healthy during the crux of the pandemic, whether it's choosing a new job or a new city to live in, whether it's choosing to leave or stay in a relationship. First you choose and then you change. So if we want to change our lives, we have to make that choice. And a lot of times we make choices without really being intentional about it. And I think that if we can step back and recognize that there is this inner jury that is the one that's making the choices, and then use some of the tools that we use in the courtroom to influence an outer jury, we can help our inner jury make the choices that serve us best and allow for the best possible life, the life that we've dreamed of.
Which is awesome. And that's a lot. Your first book, The Elegant Warrior, was a lot. That's the vein of the book. Like, you took your skills as a lawyer and then you realized that they could also help everyday people in everyday life, and you showed us how to do that. And I encourage everybody, if you haven't read The Elegant Warrior, you must. Also, your podcast of the same name is excellent. And now I am very excited because you created an online course. I think you took this pandemic and you really put this together, and it looks like it's going to be amazing. And the title of the course is How to Advocate for Yourself Like a Lawyer, so that you can basically get anything that you want, which sounds a little lofty, but let's talk about this course, because I'm excited for you.
Well, and I so appreciate it. I'm so excited about the course. You know, I do a lot of one-on-one coaching, and the price point is high for some people. And so I wanted to offer these tools to as many people as possible, because I've seen how well they work with my one-on-one clients. Each one of the weeks, there's going to be a 10-week course. Every week, we talk about a different tool of a trial attorney and how you can use that tool to persuade your inner jury to make better decisions for yourself, and then persuade your outer juries. Now, sometimes my clients are like, well, I don't have a jury, but every single listener has a jury. Right now, our jury is the listeners. We want to make sure that they decide to stay on and listen and engage them. In your day-to-day, your jury might be your clients or your customers. It might be potential investors. It might be patients if you're in healthcare. It might be students if you're a teacher. But everyone has their jury, and everyone can persuade a jury to make the decisions that work for them with these tools. So every week you will get a video and a worksheet with a different tool that we use in the courtroom. And over the course of that week, there's a Facebook group where you can go in and ask questions. I'll be in there every day. And then the most fun for me, and I think also the most helpful for the people who are participating, is the live group coaching. So once a week, I will go on Zoom Live and I will coach the people who raise their hands in the group through the challenges they're having with that particular tool. I have found that group coaching, watching other people ask questions, is so helpful, because sometimes people ask questions that you're a little afraid to ask. Sometimes they ask questions that you never anticipated you might think of, and you can get so much benefit by watching someone else go through the coaching. So that's the process. It's going to be 10 weeks, and the tools that we're talking about, guys, are things like words, the choice of words, and how the words that you choose can impact your jury, and then questions. You know, Johnny, you know that we win and lose our cases not by fighting, not by arguing, but by asking questions. And so which questions are the most effective to challenge or to communicate or to make connections? There's perspective. There's evidence, how you can use evidence to support your position, whatever it is that you want from your jury. There is credibility. You can't advocate for yourself until you believe in yourself. So the first part of it is convincing your inner jury, the inner decider, to have some confidence in yourself and then to convince others as well. There's a week on presentation, which is body language, tone of voice, facial expressions, and energy. And then there's another week on reception, which is reading body language and reading tone of voice and reading people's energy. There's a on negotiation, and there is a week on arguments, because arguments, while it is the last resort, it is an important tool when you want to ask for what you want and get it.
So Heather, one of the things I remember from your book, The Elegant Warrior, and you mentioned this just previously, is how, and especially women, and although your book is not written, nor is your course exclusively for women, is how it's easier for us to advocate for others, but less so do we do for ourselves. And this is one of the things I've learned so much from you, and I think one of the things your course is going to help people is how to find the wisdom and courage to more advocate for yourself.
Yeah, Carol, I love that you asked that question, because it's what we focus on in the first week of the course. You know, so many people struggle with this. And one of the great ways to overcome it is something called illyism. Illyism is a term that is defined by speaking about yourself in the third person. And there's all kinds of brain MRI studies that show that when we do that, we have less negative self-talk and that we are more able to sort of remove ourselves from situations. So, Carol, what I do in the first week is have people hire themselves as their own advocate and actually go through
oh my
an exercise
God.
To do that.
I just got goosebumps.
it's really impactful, because when people realize everything that they bring to the table and sort of remove themselves a little bit by using this illyism, all of a sudden everything gets easier and they can do what they do for others.
That's awesome. Because when you said talk about yourself like in the third person, I immediately went to George Costanza. And in my head, I was like, George doesn't like this.
And listen, there's a reason it works. You know, George is an example. There's a lot of examples in athletics. So Andre Agassi used to talk about himself in the third person. Pele, the famous soccer player. LeBron James has famously done so. And there's all kinds of studies that show that it's a really effective way of sort of making any criticism hurt less and giving yourself some confidence and some distance from the situation.
That's awesome.
Wow.
See, everybody can benefit from these tools, such that I think there is a whole segment of society, Heather, that doesn't even realize that part of why they're unhappy or part of why they feel stuck is because they don't know how to advocate for themselves. Like, they just don't know. This is going to be eye-opening and life-changing for a lot of people. I cannot think of a better person to teach this stuff either, because I know you personally, and I've known you for years. You're amazing at this, which is why we wanted to have you back. And before we talk about where... Sorry. This is what I don't like about not being in the studio.
I know.
No, I just appreciate you guys so much. It's really been such a labor of love. And I'm so confident in the course that I offer a money-back guarantee. If at the end of the course people feel like they haven't become an better advocate and they've done the work to try, then they can get their money back, no questions asked.
And to be honest with you, you really made this course affordable. I know some people might, you know, look at a price tag and be like, ooh, well, but you can do it in payments. And when you look at everything that you get, especially the one-on-one coaching, it's like it's an excellent deal. And before we, I want to end with how people can go there and find you. But can you just give us a little hint on, I know you're working on your second book. Can you tell us what that's going to be about and when people can expect to see that out?
Yeah, and I appreciate that so much. I am working on it. It's actually due to the publisher in about a week. And it's a lot of the same things that we've been talking about. The title of the book, I believe, is going to be Win with Elegance. And it's going to be taking the things that we talked about in The Elegant Warrior, the stories from the courtroom, and being a little bit more prescriptive. How you can actually take the steps to advocate for yourself. So it's going to be talking a lot about the science behind seeing things from different perspectives and then using that ability to change other people's perspectives. It's going to be talking about using evidence in your own life. You know, a lot of times when I tell people, well, you have evidence too, they don't recognize that anything that supports your argument, whether it's a story or data or numbers or a graph or a picture, that's all evidence, and you can use that to ask for what you want and get it. So the book is really diving into how anyone, not a lawyer, anyone can advocate for themselves with these tools.
Awesome. Love it. So, okay, so I know we have to wrap up with you, and we really appreciate that you joined us today. The course starts tomorrow. Where can people find it, sign up, find out more about you? How can they get on this course?
So you can find it at my website. So the website is heatherhansenpresents.com, and it's Hansen with an E-N. And then when you get to the website, there is a icon for the course. Click on that. You can get more details. There's a little video further explaining what you will get, and you can sign up right there.
Awesome. So HeatherHansenPresents.com. I encourage everybody to check it out today because the course does start tomorrow. It's very affordable. I can personally vouch for Heather because in case you couldn't tell over the last 20 minutes, she's amazing. Heather, I can't wait to see you before you leave New York City and head to North Carolina. Incidentally, Carol has family in North Carolina, so it's not going to feel like you're too far away, I'm sure.
Aww. And I'll be back. So I'm excited, and I have an extra room just for anyone who wants to visit. So you guys come on down.
Aww. Good luck, Heather. Thank you for hanging out with us again.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Heather.
Thank you so much, guys.
We do appreciate it, Heather Hansen, and we will be back here. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci and myself, and we have segment number 3 on the way, so stick with us. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we are back one more time here with Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Frank and Barry. Oh, my God. I think we finally did it.
That was a good one. That was like an echo effect. It was one followed by the other. Very nice. It was great to have Heather Hansen on, and I'll tell you what, Carol hit us with another fantastic segue at the end of the first segment, and then we had the fantastic guest.
Well, she's so kind of joking that we had a girl crush on her, but she's just, I really appreciate women who are strong, who are intelligent, but also kind and compassionate. Like you think, and this is something I learned about Jonna as well. You think, okay, to be a really good lawyer or to advocate for yourself and to get what you want, you have to be strong and tough and argue, and that's not always the case. It's about being wise and, like she said, like asking questions and learning how to advocate and be compassionate to yourself and to others. And both Jonna practices that, and Heather talks about that as well.
You know, it's so interesting because Heather's a personal friend of mine, and I'm actually sad that she's going to be leaving, you know, New York City, because we would often, you know, go to brunch, although I haven't been to New York City during this pandemic very much either for obvious reasons, but that's a topic for a whole other show. So I'm certainly going to miss her, but I think part of one of the things we've all had to learn, including us, right, because we haven't been in studio together since this happened, is we can stay connected now more than we probably ever realized we could before. So that's one little bright spot, you know, between Zoom and, you know, face chats and all that other good stuff. But I remember when Heather, I mean, she's an excellent trial attorney, to transition your career from like one really big career to another, what potentially big career, that's, it's scary.
And yep. I remember when we were having a conversation when she was just on the cusp of wanting to, or as her mother called it, you know, having a midlife crisis. Yeah. And we were having a conversation, a personal conversation about one of my relationships with somebody that I was having a difficulty with. And I remember complaining to her about this relationship, and she kind of stopped me in my tracks because I was saying something. I was complaining about something, and she said, well, what about it makes you feel that way? Or she started to ask all these why questions. And by the time I got done complaining, I felt like I had a brand new direction and way to attack this problem that I mean, it's just so simple, just by saying, well, why, and what about, and how come, and it, yep. it totally turned it around. And that's part of what she teaches, and I'm sure it's going to be included in her course and if you read her book. And I was like, wow. And now I do that myself. Like, I don't need the help to do it. If I'm having an issue, I'll ask myself those questions to try to get to a better place. It's like magic, actually.
It is. Therapy. You know what, Jonna, sometimes when we're at a point of frustration or not happy with where we are, or there's something we want that we don't have, we search out knowledge, right? We maybe read more books mm-hmm. or talk to other people and try to get information. And I talk about this in Hello Beautiful. I talk about it in my book, Happy Bitch, is that the beginning of so much begins with questions. What are the questions you're asking right. yourself? This is the beginning of complete... When I talk about in Happy Bitch how my ex had an affair and it was awful, and I was struck with why me, why did this happen to me, why am I stuck here? And then when I started asking new questions, okay, what do I want? What's mm-hmm. next? What good can I create from this? This is a cornerstone to what Heather stands for and talks about in her book, and again, she's going to have a segment on it in her course, is learning to shift your focus by asking the right kinds of questions, because you have the answers within you if you just ask the right questions. You learn how to practice that.
Right. And the other thing is, too, like you mentioned earlier, Jonna, you know, it's finding alternative ways to answer those questions, or at least to calm yourself down. And that is one thing that we have learned how to do. I know that, you know, when it comes to Zoom calls, I mean, three of my college friends and myself got on a Zoom call 2 weeks ago and we talked for 3 hours. And it didn't seem like 3 hours, but it was the greatest possible stress relief I could have. And we, you know, and each of us had issues, and we did just that. We talked, and we talked like we did in college, and we asked questions, and you know, and we knew we were with comfortable, you know, people we were comfortable with. And I couldn't tell you how on top of the sky I was when I was done with that phone call.
Good for you, Frank and Mary.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
When you look for the silver lining, and I will say, Carol, you do have that exact premise in Happy Bitch, because you, when you were going through that situation and you asked yourself all the right questions, like, how do I want to do this? And ultimately, that's how you had probably one of the most amicable divorces in history. And you just reminded me that this is a process that anybody going through any sort of crisis, pandemic, divorce, job change, death, whatever, can apply, and you can instantly make yourself feel better, even when you're going through a home renovation.
And you can, yes, and you can do this with the big life questions, and you can do this with the questions of, like, what you want your next move to be. And here's one of the most powerful things I talk about in Happy Bitch is, what is the outcome that you want? So often somebody hurts us, right? And this is how I responded in an empowered way to what happened to me. We want, knee-jerk reaction is, oh, I'll hurt you back. I'll figure out how to get you back. What is the ultimate thing you want for yourself that most likely is going to involve being happy, being at peace? And then you say, okay, that's what I want. What's the outcome I want here? Then step back and pause and say, is what I'm about to do or say here going to get me closer or further away from that? It's not that hard. It's just being mindful of that. Okay, so if I argue back, if I fight back, if I find a way to make this person's life miserable, and you could have a right to do that, but is that ultimately going to get you closer to what you want? Do you want peace and happiness? Do you want your life to be in a better spot? Choose what's going to get you closer to what you want. Just do it over and over and over again.
And you know what? It's funny that you say that, because I can make a correlation to some of the stuff that I write. when I take a step back and I let it sit, and which I've discovered that I have to do. And now I keep doing that because I was tired of, say, writing something, posting it, seeing a few people like it, and then going back and editing it, knowing it, that those first number of people weren't going to see the final product. So I just said to myself, with everything now, Steve, whatever your first gut reaction is when it comes to putting down some words, just wait. Give it some time. Come back fresh and look at it anew, and then go from there, which I've been doing, and that's been working.
And sometimes in life with crisis or change or big and little decisions, sometimes the pause is the best thing, too, to do nothing, just to sit back and let it settle and then respond to it. Let your wisdom come forward.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes no immediate reply or response is a response.
Yep.
Exactly. Yes, actually, I have found myself over the last number of months, that has been some of my greatest response, is none.
Yeah.
You know, because even that sends a message.
And I've had so many friends will reach out and they'll text me. They'll be so pissed about something or upset. It's like, I'm not sure what I should do. And I'm almost always, inevitably now, I will say, let it sit. Just let it sit. Mm-hmm. Don't let that anger speak at the moment and the emotion. Just let it sit and let your wisdom come forth. And that sometimes takes a little bit of quiet and time.
It does.
You know what? You just reminded me of something. I'm going to admit something that's pretty embarrassing, I guess, before we
end the day.
Oh, please, go ahead.
But I find myself, and I don't do it on purpose, it just sort of happens. Like when I'm working out an issue, work-related or not work or whatever, when I'm in the shower, I will have an entire soliloquy about all the stuff that I want to say to somebody. Like, it could be horrible stuff, like horrible stuff that I would never in real life say to their face, but I get it out, and I get it out in the shower, and then I can have a more mature reaction and in my brain and figure out how to do it the right way. It's I guess maybe it's like, you know, punching a bag, except I'm just letting it out verbally, and then I do the right thing.
Right.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah,
and it's healthy. It's healthy, too, to get those emotions out because they'll fester and they get stored up. So when you let them out, that's a good thing. You're just being smart about how you do it in the privacy of your own shower.
Right.
In my own shower. Yeah. And then they go down the drain.
you just happen to be naked underwater. That's all.
Right. Well, there's the title of your book, Jonna Naked and Not So Afraid.
There you go.
All right. So we just wanted to thank Heather Hansen again. And you can go to heatherhansenpresents.com to check out her course, her books. Been another great show. And thank you to Frank Berry and Jonna and Heather Hansen.
All right. Yes. Thank you very much. And of course, big thanks to you all for tuning in. This has been Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we will be back again next Sunday, 7 o'clock. It's what we do here every week. So make sure you come back with us. This is K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.